Hello, everybody, and welcome to Amateur Dork Cinema. It is me, Fro, and with me I have Triv. Hi, Triv.
Hi, Fro. How are you?
I have a bad back, but that is nothing new. Someone that also is getting to feel his age. Hello, Luke.
Hi, Fro. Hi, everybody. Yep, I also am an age that is older than 12. So there you go.
Oof. Well, you know, Fro's back hurts because he's so busy carrying the two of us.
But I'm push.
I think, to be honest, then Luke's back would be hurting. Because, to be honest, he is carrying this whole fucking podcast. So, there's that.
My shoulder hurts because there's a giant chip on it. So, there you go.
That also helps.
It's delicious because it's a Doritos nacho cheese chip. Yeah.
At least you picked a good flavor.
Yeah, and if you want to, you can get a Doritos Locos taco and make it into this. Yeah.
Nice.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Fro doesn't have Taco Bell, so yeah.
No. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have absolutely no clue.
Taco Bell, because they're so degenerate, they took the Doritos and made a taco shell out of it and then made that into a taco. Yeah.
How the fuck? Why?
Because it's Taco Bell.
Exactly. It's like they take like a glazer donut or like a Krispy Kreme donut, cut it in half, and put a chicken tender in the middle of it.
I remember when there was this news case about someone having a bird inside of a Taco Bell, and they called animal control, and when the people came back to that and were checking it out, the health inspector, the fucking same bird was there the day after.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Birds do that.
That's something I remember. Yeah, so episode 3 of Amateur Dark Cinema, we will talk a little about the Rust thing, because we never talk about that.
Yeah, it's the ongoing thing. Last month, we talked about...
That is the never-ending story.
A little bit.
Whoa. Yeah.
Last month, we had talked about how Hannah Gutierrez had been found guilty. This month, she was sentenced. Hannah Gutierrez was... sentenced to 18 months in prison for the death of cinematographer Hala Hutchins, who was shot by actor Alec Baldwin on the production of Rust in 2021. She was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter for mistakenly loading the live round in the revolver that Baldwin used on the movie set. Baldwin has said he did not pull the trigger. One of the reasons that she got the full 18 months, I guess, is this is what I heard. She showed no remorse in phone calls that were leaked from prison. So she was talking to people in prison on the phone, showing no remorse for the shooting, and the judge was not happy about that.
Oof.
Yeah.
I feel it's a very short time to get just 18 months for killing somebody, but
she didn't pull the trigger. It was, you know, it wasn't actually her that killed the person.
She didn't shoot the deputy. Yeah, I understand.
And we still don't know how that bullet got in there. That's the other thing.
It's a magic bullet. It's the same bullet they used for JFK somehow.
Wow, that thing held up well over the years.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It didn't even become rusty. See what I did there?
That would be like the most expensive bullet ever if you put it up for auction. It killed the two people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like when they talk about the two bullets that met in midair. There's these two giant bullets that apparently like ended up being connected together and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Mythbusters actually did that in one of their episodes.
Cool.
I'm not surprised by that at all. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I love Mythbusters. That also likes Mythbusters, I'm assuming, is Quentin Tarantino's. What is Quentin Tarantino's view on Mythbusters, Luke?
Him and Jamie Hyneman are probably best friends, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't be surprised if...
We're joking.
Those two guys did work on movie sets before they did Mythbusters. They were, like, special effects guys. So there's a possibility they met. I don't know. Quentin Tarantino's movies are always full of surprises, though. And his new one, The Movie Critic, is one that we did not expect. Tarantino was going to have Brad Pitt as the principal star, and this would have marked the third teaming of the two. Rumors many had the cast of his past films might take part as well. Word is that Tarantino had rewritten the script, which had delayed production, but this was to be his 10th and final film, like you said. And now it's looking like they're canceling. It says it was originally planned to be his final film. Tarantino has simply had a change of heart, deadline here is it will not be moving forward with the project. Sources close to the director said he changed his mind and is going back to the drawing board. I mean,
he didn't like the script,
which he wrote.
But he also rewrote. It says that's why it was delayed as he rewrote the original script, and then after the rewrite,
I think it's a shame because the whole project looked like fun, but I don't mind waiting some years to go to see the final movie. He has spoken about doing a third and final Kill Bill movie where the daughter that is killed in the first one comes back and takes revenge.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so that would be a very meta thing to do.
That kind of feels like you're taking a step backwards, though, too. I understand the want for a third kill, though.
He said that if he does that, he will not count it as because it doesn't count part one and two as two different movies. He counts it as one. So if he did it, he wouldn't count that as one of his 10.
Yeah, the number of the 10 movies that he's making, I'm going to make 10 movies and then I'm going to stop. Yeah. It's like very loose because Grindhouse is
extremely loose.
The Grindhouse movie was like a full movie, but it doesn't count because it was part of a double feature. And then he counts Kill Bill as one movie, but everybody saw it as two movies. So I don't know about, but as far as his final film, whatever number that is, this was supposed to be it. What I was to understand is it was mainly being written to kind of tie together the entire Tarantino verse, where all these movies have slight of connections, and he's done that on purpose. And this last movie was supposed to tie all those connections together. Right.
And that's why
it's kind of like Stephen King,
right?
Yes, exactly. Just like Stephen King.
And I can understand how that would be hard to write, also, and be happy with, as far as a final product for your final film, your magnum opus or whatever. I can understand him being this isn't good enough. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and putting that much pressure on any one thing, I'm sure that would be that doesn't help it either.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what you said there is very important, Trev, because I think maybe that he's getting a little maybe I shouldn't have said 10.
Well, he could always just call it X and, do that whole thing. There's a huge story to tell there if you were to go that route.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. I would love to see him make a Blair Witch Project movie. That would be fun.
That'd be gory as hell.
Yeah, because the second one with Busta Rhymes was so good, so we know that.
Oh my god, I hate that movie.
Doesn't hold a candle in badness to the original or to the remake? Because oh my god,
I was
I am not that mad at the remake.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the people who made the original seem to be, maybe not mad, but they're calling for compensation for their work in the original film, as well as a meaningful consultation on any reboots or sequels coming up. After the revival was announced, like you guys said, last Saturday, actors Ray Hance, probably, Joshua Leonard and Michael Williams issued an open letter to Lionsgate. The letter called for a retroactive and future residuals for the three actors who worked on the 1999 film, equivalent to the sum that would have been allotted through SAG-AFTRA. They say they did not have proper union or legal representation when the original film was made. Right, because if people don't know, it was like super indie, and then so much money off of it. Right, and what I'm still understanding is they made like a couple thousand bucks each.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
well, at that time, too, it was kind of just one of those underground things where, you know, there was no thought, I'm sure, that it was going to blow up the way that it did, but...
Well,
we talked a little before we started recording about like viral things. Holy fuck, that was really like the emphasis on viral marketing for that movie, because people went to the movies thinking it was going to be a real movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was a documentary.
What I'm seeing
The way it was marketed, there's no so equivalent clever. To what that did. Yeah.
Well, they made that was it Discovery Web Channel site. Thing?
Yeah.
It was a Discovery Channel fake documentary. Do you remember seeing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True. Oh, yeah. As a kid, I was like, is that real? Everybody thought it was real. There was a whole thing of like, is this real? Is this not real? And so the promotion for it was amazing. But what it says here, this is the New York Times. In addition, the actors were eventually paid $300,000 in total when they were bought out of 1% stake of the franchise, which effectively then shut them out of any future residuals.
Yeah.
That's split between them, $300,000. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
Well, and considering what they went through, too, just like I know that Heather Donahue had like loads of just not personal issues, but just like, you know, people come up to you and give you a lot of crap and things like that. So, I mean, and not that you don't have to take that, but it is still those lines of how much do you have to take for a thing that was just like a, you know, weekend gig or whatever.
It does seem unfair, but at the same time, I don't know the legal avenue for them to actually get money out of this, other than just like social pressure, really.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
But it's like Trevor said, it's definitely the movie that made Lionsgate. Like, Lionsgate would never existed if it wasn't for Blair Witch. So I can understand it. Another sequel that's coming out is Sonic 3. And we have gotten some very good news when it comes to casting there.
Some people are saying it's good, some people are saying it's bad. I guess we'll see.
I love it.
Okay. Sonic 3, Keanu Reeves is being added to the cast list. They're saying he's going to be voicing the popular character Shadow, who is the bad guy-ish? In the
bad guy-ish, yeah.
He's a bad guy at the beginning, at least in the video games, but everything can change as far as movie script. But it seems like the Sonic franchise movies have been following the game lore pretty accurately, so in this movie he's gonna be the bad guy. I remember when we talked about it, because I think it was like my number five or something anticipated films, and Fro was saying, oh well, they're not gonna have Jim Carrey now. Is this a good replacement for Jim Carrey as far as like a big name? I don't know.
No,
it's not gonna have the same comedy that
it definitely would, not Well, that's more of a Jim Carrey thing than just a Dr. Robotnik thing.
I also...
What do you mean by that?
I just mean that Jim Carrey brings a certain thing to anything that he plays.
Right.
Like, if you put someone else in that role versus him, I just mean that it's not going to be the same kind of comedy, because that comedy is very Jim Carrey, the way that he portrays it.
It's like almost slapstick in a way. Yeah.
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 Not to say it wouldn't be good, it just wouldn't be... quite, you're not going to get the same kind of movie with Jim Carrey as you would with someone else in that role. But that's true of a lot of stuff, so.
I do think they're bringing
It's not going to play the same role, though.
No. I just mean, anyway. Yeah. Understood.
I think bringing Keanu Reeves is, like, somewhat a replacement to be able to be like, hey, this is the new big name that we're bringing in. And Keanu is also kind of, I don't know, internet, popular, you know, he's got that internet darling.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that, and I think that very much when he had this like upspill with oh my god, assassin movies.
Oh, John Wick.
John Wick, yeah. He became super popular through that, so...
Well, there was that video game that was terrible, but he did a lot of promotion, and everybody loved the promotion he did for Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk,
the game turned out horrible, but for some reason, during the promotion, the build-up to that, everybody was like, we love Keanu. Yeah. Keanu can do no wrong. Yeah.
They also fixed that game, by the way.
There was the whole thing that he gave all of his... every bit of money he made off the Matrix, he like gave to the crew. There was also that. He's just a really nice guy, I think is the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
He seems like good people.
Okay, let's talk about movies we saw this month of April, and I will talk about one of the best movies I've seen all of my life. Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp.
I saw this.
I'm totally joking, by the way. It's not the best movie I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
No, it's terrible. So after getting kicked out of the forest, Woody thinks he has found his forever home at camp. Woohoo! Until Inspector threatens to shut down the camp. That is the premise of this movie. This movie came out on Netflix. It's one of those movies. It has a 4.6 out of 10 rating on IMDb, 66% on Rotten Tomatoes audience score, but a 20 on the reviews.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's mixed animation with live action. It's kind of got a Roger Rabbit feel, and even the ending has like a Roger Rabbit ending to it.
Very Roger Rabbit.
It's super for kids. It's very Disney Channel-esque or like Nickelodeon-esque movie.
And it's definitely a sequel to the 2017 movie.
Right,
If you ever saw that one.
In a very loose way, because he leaves the setting of the first one and then goes to camp. That's why it's called Ghost to Camp. Yeah. It feels very much like Ernest Goes to Camp or one of those... It felt very 90s feeling.
It felt so 90s.
There's a weird twist to it in that camp is a STEM camp, or they call it a STEAM camp, because STEM is now... They added an A for arts, apparently. And so it's instead of STEM, it's STEAM, which I didn't know until this movie. But then the other camp that's like the bad camp they're battling against, which is like every camp movie, you know, is a military camp, like a military training camp. And then spoilers, I don't know if everybody, spoilers for the Woody Woodpecker movie. In the end, they all learn to get along, which is like such a relation to the actual military-industrial complex in America, where people from STEM get stuck right into the military. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I hated this movie with a passion. Like, I really, really wanted to talk about this when I saw it today. I saw it just before we were recording today, and I was kind of waiting to see this movie because I had heard absolutely nothing good about it, and I didn't really want to see it either because of what I had read about it. But it is that bad. Like, it is a 2 out of 10 movie. I really, really despised it.
Tell us how you really feel.
I know. What did you think about it, Luke?
I think I said pretty much what I thought about it. I guess I'd probably give it like
a score.
I'd probably give it like a 1.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Oof.
It's on my list of worst movies this year. Trip.
So after the success of Slay, as far as a Tubi original movie, I figured I would go back to Tubi and see what else they had. They had one called Festival of the Living Dead, and kind of dead on arrival. Not the worst zombie movie I've ever seen, but certainly pretty generic. So it follows, while attending a festival to commemorate the original zombie attack, Ash and her friends encounter living dead and must fight back or be devoured. It features one of the most pointless light yourself on fire scenes I think I've ever seen in my life. Specifically by a guy whose nickname is actually Blaze.
okay.
You know, it has some good moments. The directors were Saska sisters. They did Rabbit and a few other remake S type things, and their record in my mind has been pretty solid. It had some okay moments. If you're, you know, drunk and high on a Friday night and you're looking for something and you can't find anything else, it's not terrible. If you're a completionist, you know, it's not terrible, but it has a 4.6 out of 10 on IMDb. There's no Rotten Tomato rating, and I'm guessing you can guess why. But yeah, it's not terrible, not great. Probably a 4 out of 10.
Okay. I saw something that was also from a streaming service that you might remember. Quibi? Does anybody remember Quibi?
Oh, yeah. They're still around?
No, they're not. But Hulu got a hold of a Quibi TV show, apparently, and made a movie out of it.
Oh, God.
It's called The Stranger, and it actually isn't that bad. It was kind of fun, honestly. Nice. I don't know if you... It was apparently on Quibi, but nobody probably saw this. And it was set up as, like, you know, how Quibi did it. They had, like, short 7-minute episodes or something. The original director... Because nobody saw that, went ahead and recut it into a movie and then released it on Hulu the middle of this month. It's called The Stranger. It's about a guy, or a woman who does, like, rideshare, you know, like an Uber-type situation, but, you know, a fake Uber. And she picks up a passenger, and he says, oh, I just killed somebody, and if you don't do what I say, I'm going to kill you. And then it's, you know, the classic, oh, this psycho is trying to kill me thing. She meets up with a guy at a gas station who's trying to help her out, and now the killer wants to kill this guy, too. It's actually pretty good. I was surprised going into it. I had seen some people talking about it, and so I was like, okay, I'll check it out. I'd give it a 6.5. The cinematography is pretty basic, but the storyline's pretty fun.
Nice.
Okay. I saw Star Wars 2 Electric Boogaloo. No, oh, wait, that's not what I saw. I saw Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver, with the look. It was the best sequel I have ever seen, he said ironically. So I went into this thinking, oh, it's going to be as bad as Rebel Moon Part 1, Child of Fire. Guess what, Trev?
It was twice as good, bad, or something.
It was so boring.
Really?
So from Snyder? Incredibly boring. Yeah, I know. I said to Luke when we watched it. It felt so incredibly slow. Like the first one had a lot of like, at least like intriguing action scenes and things like that. And when Luke pointed out that it went an hour before we saw the bad guys in this movie.
Oh, wow.
Well, there's the very opening scene before the credits, but after that, you don't see the bad guys for an hour yet.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And how they, like, do so much backflash that they could have done in the first one for new people that we meet. There are so much backlash, and Furiosa from the Mad Max movies all of a sudden shows up in this. It's so trying to be a Mad Max movie that it's almost a little bit silly. Like the first one was very like a Dune ripoff. I would say that this was even more a ripoff of the Mad Max movies.
Wow. So when you're talking about, since this is, there's supposed to be like what, 4 or 6 of these things total?
It's definitely set up for a sequel, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a sequel.
Being that it's at least part of a trilogy, we'll just, for my joke to work, this needs to be at least a trilogy. So it's essentially like Lord, or the Two Towers, where there's a lot of walking and not a lot else.
It felt, yes. I compared it to the first three Star Wars, kind of, in that they do a lot of discussing of politics and not a whole lot of, like, battling each other. Right. There's a whole lot of, like, how's the Senate doing today?
Oh, so much talking in this. So much plotting.
And like Flo said, there's a whole scene where they do this backstory of the characters that you met in the first movie, and you had a whole movie... A whole movie to tell the backstory, and then you waited for the second movie and did a whole 20-minute, like, they sit down around a table and tell each other their backstory. It was, like, so silly, because they had to do it, because they didn't set that up in the first movie, which, why didn't they do that? Yeah.
This is, what did you say? This is the lowest rated Zack Snyder...
It was when it initially came out. I'm not sure if that's, you know, but it's definitely rated lower than the first one. I know that.
Wow.
It has that's a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb. What does it have on Rotten Tomatoes? It has a 15.
Oh, dear God.
That's worse than Woody Woodpecker, to be quite clear. Yeah.
Yes. And it has a 52% audience score. Yeah, no, this is... Like, this is the worst movie I've seen this year. It's just boring and unforgivable. And in the first movie, we very much complained about, like, using a lot of, like, slow motion things. It wasn't as bad in this, but when they did it in this, they used it wrongly. And a lot of it was only in the first 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it felt like they... kind of heard the backlash of the first movie when people were complaining of a lot of, like, slow motion, and they were like, oh, we have to have some slow motion, but let's put all of it in the first 15-20 minutes. Just so fucking weird. I'm going to give this a one.
Yeah, probably a one. The dialogue's just really bad. And they tried... Some of the special effects are okay, I guess that's the one thing, but it really just... a Star Wars ripoff more than anything.
Right. So how would you, would you say this is Zack Snyder's worst, or is it better than Sucker Punch?
It's worse.
It's worse. Really? I would say it's worse than Sucker Punch, and I hated Sucker Punch. Yeah.
Okay. Trip.
My next one up is Sting. Let's see. Charlotte, a rebellious 12-year-old, finds a tiny spider in her rundown apartment. She keeps it in a jar, but it soon grows to a monstrous rate and develops an insatiable appetite for blood. As her neighbors begin to disappear, Charlotte and her family find themselves in a desperate fight for themselves against a ravenous arachnid with a taste for human flesh.
I like this.
Yeah, 6 out of 10 for IMDb, 65% Rotten Tomatoes, 90% of Google users enjoyed this movie. It felt very much like, I mean, anytime you kind of do the whole, like, oh, we're stuck in a building, or an apartment building, you know, it's kind of got Evil Dead Rises, not obviously in the same way, but it kind of follows that feel. I thought it was enjoyable. I know it's kind of that, he's a cute spider. Here's a cute spider, and then, you know... girl connects with it. She's a little too, and I know she's a teen, she's a little too angsty for my taste, but yeah, solid effects. Enjoyed the premise. I think I probably liked it more than a lot, but yeah, I thought it was excellent. I enjoyed it. Probably do like a 7 out of 10.
I have acrophobia? No. What do you call it when you're afraid of spiders?
Arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia. So I tend to like movies like this. I don't thought special effects were what budget they were working on was pretty amazing, to be honest.
Yeah.
It really amazed me of how good it was. I'm not going to say it's the best horror movie ever.
Oh, no.
But I enjoyed the shit out of it. I thought the acting was so-so, maybe. But I thought the premise of the spider and how they made the spider into such a important part of it was very good. So I agree with you. I would give it a 7.
Nice. I would also say that they really followed the rule about, like, showing, not telling. But they only, brought it out when they needed to. They didn't, you know, bring it out. You know, you never saw the full spider, by and large, until the last 20 minutes. Also, Gunther reminded me, I don't know why, but with Gunther, she was such, like, an evil person. It kind of went almost into, like, a kid, not that it was a kid's movie, but it kind of went into, like, kid movie, like, Matilda levels of, like evil.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Cartoonishly evil.
No, I really wanted her dead, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the poor Hispanic lady, I felt so bad for her. God. It's like, okay, you know, everybody else gets taken out in some ways. This poor woman is grieving her family's lost, and she ends up, like, alive but dead, and like spiders coming out of her throat, and just she didn't deserve the what she got.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
All right, I saw
look
a documentary on Netflix, Antisocial Network. It was what was the sir Memes to Mayhem. It was mostly about 4chan, I guess. 4chan in like the early 2000s. But then it really went into kind of like how that culture went into becoming like anonymous, and then the culture split off and became things like QAnon and other things like that. And more of like what we think of now as like the extremist parts of the internet, I guess, right? It goes into a lot of that. It definitely is stealing from other documentaries I've seen about, you know, similar topics, like directly stealing from those other documentaries. But I think it was well put together in that all the information's there, and I don't think it's super biased. I don't know. Did you guys see this?
Yeah,
I have not.
Did you think
I really liked it?
Did you think I thought it stayed away from being too one sided in that? It didn't. It went hard on like kind of the alt-right people, like the January 6th people who were brought there by QAnon and stuff like that, but it didn't, it did, at the same time, it was saying, like, okay, these people are part of a culture that was created, you know, 20 years ago, and they just it's part of an ongoing thing instead of kind of singling out a certain group of people, and so in that way, it stayed unbiased. I don't know, I thought it was pretty good. I'd recommend it. It's on Netflix, like I said. I don't know, I give it probably a six.
Yeah, I agree with you with the six. I will also say that it didn't really feel like one of those very standard Netflix documentaries that we got a thousand of before. So it kind of kept away from that. But I agree. It was kind of what was bad about it. I especially felt the stealing part. I could like see they stole a lot of like from other documentaries about this thing.
But I think it's also that just like that's the stuff to talk about. So in a way, it's like that's the content they're dealing with. So other documentaries are going to cover the same content. So I don't know, but this one like directly stole for sure.
Yeah. Oof. Okay, I'm going to talk about the movie I actually liked for once.
Oh my god!
What?
I know. This was under my radar for probably going to be very good or very bad. It's called Scoop. It's on Netflix. It is about the women that secured the BBC interview with Prince Andrew from 2019.
Oh, okay.
It is a fictionalized movie about like how they got the interview, but the interview itself is in the movie with actors and things like that. The guy that plays Prince Andrew, Rufus Sewell, he does a very good Prince Andrew. Billy Piper and Gillian Anderson is the two female leads in this, and they are fucking amazing. Like, I love both of them. Especially, I think Billy Piper in this movie did one of the best movies I have ever seen in her before. She's most known for The Secrets, Diaries of Call Girl. Penny, she was also a Penny Dreadful. And Gillian Anderson, of course, from X-Files and things like that. But, yeah, no, I thought this was really, really good handiwork with the story that I knew everything about going into it. So I didn't think I would especially, like, come out with anything about it. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I will actually give it a 7.5 and say it's one of the better Netflix movies I've seen.
Okay.
Nice. All right. My next one was, I ended up at a random film festival, and I ran across this one called Curse of the Totem, or Curse of the Jur-Uni. And I completely slaughtered that. I apologize.
Sure, okay.
It's a Malaysian horror movie, kind of in the vein of...
You don't speak Malaysian?
I what? Don't. My Malaysian is definitely a little bit behind. But it was my first exposure to Malaysian horror, and I really quite enjoyed this. It's not a perfect movie. So basically, the film tells a story of the Melanau people's past history, which is full of mystery, especially related to the burial customs of nobles and the people. Basically, if you take like a cultural horror movie and throw in asylum-level effects... you'll end up with this. There's times when the effects are really solid, and then there's other times where you can literally see the green screen rolling in the background.
Okay.
I can't say it was specifically... If you look at it as a general horror thing, it kind of had all the things you'd expect. There was a lot of random jump scares. There was a lot of weird CGI. But the story itself was pretty solid, had some interesting twists, and makes me never want to go to a Malaysian jungle ever. So... it had, let me see here, 5.2...
Is it the same reason why I never can go to Australia because of the soft spiders there?
Well, yeah, it's kind of in that realm. Yeah. That and the walking on random dead people, if the chance of stepping on someone's squishy remains is as much as you see in this movie, yeah, I'm going to say that I don't want to go to a Malaysian jungle. but it was 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb. I would give it a 6.
Okay. Cool. Luke.
Oh, it's my turn. Let's go with, geez, what, I guess I'll do, I've got two to pick from here. I guess Greatest Hits, time travel movie on Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu.
It's about a woman who's, boyfriend gets killed. Her and her boyfriend get in a car crash. She lives, but her boyfriend doesn't. And she figures out, you're kind of thrown into it as the viewer, but she figures out after the crash that if she listens to certain songs, she will travel back in time to the moment that song was played with the two of them together. So if...
Oh, that's cool.
For whatever... Yeah, so... But the thing
it's
is...
It's very smart movie. Yeah.
It sounds good.
It doesn't... Like, as far as the time travel goes, there's certain aspects that are definitely... You have to suspend disbelief, but the...
Sure, but
the concept is interesting in that... not only does this happen, like, when she goes and plays a record. Oh, I'm going to play this record, and I want to hear this song to go back to this period. But imagine you were just walking down the street... And then, or what, you're in an elevator and that song starts playing in the elevator and then you get sent back in time and everybody around you is like, what just happened? Because you basically have a seizure. So she's, yeah, it's also has to do with that. Like, she has to live with this as though it was like a mental condition, but it's time travel. It's kind of interesting.
It is. Especially to see it taken like as that, as a mental, like a mental health thing.
It is kind of in a way, because she's also going to, like, therapy for, or it's like a support group for people who have lost loved ones, which is actually, the support group is run by a lady from The Office. What's her name? Retta from The Office.
Shannon Golding, is that her name?
I think her name's Retta. I think that's her name.
Okay.
The concept's really interesting. You know, it's a little bit generic love story-esque as far as, like, the screenwriting of it. So I don't know. I give this a 5.5.
Oh, I liked it more than that. I think the lady that plays Harriet in this movie is so fucking bomb. Like, she's really, really good. I really like her. I really believed her. And it was kind of funny to see David Cornsweet, that's from Twisters and another movie that I also saw. But, I would give it a 6.5. I really liked it.
Yeah, like cool. I said, it's just kind of there's a genericness to the love story of it, but other than that, the time travel stuff's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, I am going to talk about the best movie I saw this week. It is Monkey Man. I finally got to see it. I was really, really looking forward to seeing this. Dev Patel directing and starring in it. I think this is a movie that a lot of people will like. I don't know if it's Dave Patel's best movie or not, but it's definitely the best he has ever directed because it's his directorial debut. So I can actually say that. Nice. It's very inspired of this legend of Hanuman, and it is extreme. It felt a little John Wick-y, I will say that. It feels like every star is getting their own John Wick kind of movie. Nowadays, I think that's maybe the worst thing I can say about it. But the blood was amazing. The language, everything. I really, really liked it. I'm not going to say so much about the plot because I kind of want people to see it. But I'm going to actually give it an 8.5.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, is this better than Dev Patel in the fantastically memorable The Last Airbender?
No, Triv, because that movie is Oscar movie.
Or the Green Knight, maybe? Maybe
it was... Oh, the Green Knight. Yeah.
That classic that everybody loved.
Such a good movie. Yeah,
100%.
Come on, Triv.
All right, my last one up is Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, glad that is your last one, because that's actually my last one as well.
Oh, perfect. Okay. 98% Rotten Tomatoes. What else we got here? 7.2 on IMDb. I don't even know where to begin with this one. I know the whole AI scandal thing. Whatever you want to call that, wherever you sit on that, this movie runs on so many of its own merits. It captures everything about the 70s. Yeah. The feel, the way it's shot. I do have a little bit with the behind the scenes. You would expect if there was behind the scenes shoots to be a little bit more like grainy and such. But
Especially I liked it because it wasn't that grainy. I think what they did, especially with aspect ratio, because a lot of movie is about aspect ratio, and not to spoil the ending, totally in the ending as well, they do a lot with aspect ratio in this movie, where you see things that are backstage contra what is on TV. And I love how they make him out to be this completely different person on camera that he is back on stage. He's so total ass against his best friend there, for example.
Oh, 100%.
I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, and I love that, and I know that, you know, trailers are always going to give away something. I adore the fact that what you see in the trailer is such a small part of the bigger picture. Because I was kind of thinking, okay, they're going to bring her out, she's going to do the thing, but what could they possibly do from there? And everything ties back into everything else. It is such a fun movie. And I'm such a, I love the retro stuff. And to see what they did, like, everything is considered. Colors are considered. Yeah. The set is considered. Yeah. Wardrobe. And you would expect that because it is well put together, but it is still,
I have a question,
like, a relatively low budget movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question for you. What did you think? So this is the, in the beginning, we have a lot of storytelling in the beginning. What did you think about him introducing this as found footage? Did that make sense for you? Because that's kind of my biggest complaint about this movie, is that they don't trust the viewers enough. Because I don't really think we needed he was struggling in viewership, like the documentary thing before we kind of got the movie.
Right.
I don't know if you agree to that.
I didn't have a real problem with that. Okay. I can see where that could be kind of a nitpick, but I can also see for the folks, like, found footage is such a big thing right now, like that whole part of it.
Yeah.
And just knowing kind of his character, giving a little bit, like, they do give you some background. I don't think they give you too much, but I could see it, but I thought they did,
especially with the wife thing.
Yeah.
Especially with wife thing. That's like my biggest complaint about this, is kind of giving that wife story away in the beginning, kind of hurt that movie.
You know what it kind of felt like to me? It's, you know, you get like a good hamburger and then they toss an extra patty on top of that. Like, it's not needed. Hmm. But depending on, you know, kind of, that's kind of where it sits. It's not needed, but I'm not going to sit there and complain about it because it's still a good burger, I guess.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I totally agree. I just thought that that kind of skewed it in a way.
If
they showed it, I wish they showed it without the commentary, if you understand that. Because the commentary was very unneeded.
Yeah.
Like, I can understand they need to explain why we're here and why he did this episode, but it's kind of like, it felt like they didn't really trust the audience in a way.
Yeah. What were your thoughts? And I'm curious, because I've heard a few different people, and without giving anything away, what are your thoughts on the last, say, 10 minutes?
I didn't like it.
I wasn't a fan either. I think you could have left it, like, when it comes back
I
to him.
I did not like it.
I don't think it was needed. Like, I know that they're trying to build up a lot of other stuff without giving too much away, but
unnecessary, I will call it.
Like, if there was one thing that was unnecessary, I would have rather kept what was at the open and kind of shucked what was at the close. Because in the grand scheme, it really didn't... They didn't bring enough of that in to really...
And the closing scene really, really didn't give me what I wanted without...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would agree. Although the worm scene, oh my god, that was fantastic. Fantastic.
Woo, that's good.
Oh man, such great and all practical. Obviously, like, it had that feel. They did. They took it. They left it in that era. Yeah, I apologize. I'm going off. But fantastic.
No, I could talk an hour about this movie.
Oh yeah. You're making me want to go back and watch it again, which I need to do anyway, so.
What do you give it?
Oh, I'd probably go an 8, and I think it will definitely become a movie, 8.5, but it will definitely become a movie that becomes part of my Halloween regiment. Like, there's a bunch of movies kind of like this, like Ghostwatch from the UK. WNUF Holiday Special is another one that kind of follows in this tradition from, I think it was done in the 2000s, but it's kind of set in the 80s, kind of like an old broadcast. Both are fantastic and definitely worth a watch, and if you like this.
I agree with you. I am going to give it half a score less than you and give it an 8, especially because of the ending. And I was a little bit disappointed in the beginning as well.
Fair. 8. But David, I can't pronounce his last name. The main guy. David.
Yes.
Malishin. Anyway.
Amazing. Amazing.
He's been in so much stuff, but he needs to be in more. He just lives his roles, and he's just so good.
Yeah.
And those sideburns, my God.
Woo! Sexy.
All right, going from something good to something very bad, Damaged, with Samuel Jackson and Vincent Castle.
Ooh. Okay.
People are saying, why the hell is Samuel Jackson in this movie? And that's the big takeaway that I've seen from a lot of the reviews. It's about a murderer who surfaces in Scotland, and it's everybody's Scottish in this except for Samuel L. Jackson. Directed by Terry McDonough. It's got 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, 4.6 out of 10 on IMDb. It's trying to be like a Seven type thing. It's like a, you know, they're chasing after this murderer, serial killer, and it's kind of trying to do a twist ending, but one of the worst twist endings I've ever seen. The production of it is all over the place. Sometimes it's decent and sometimes it's just awful. I feel like they edited this and then re-edited the edit and then re-edited that edit. It feels like a copy of a copy of a copy of a movie. So, all in all, the whole thing was really badly put together. No real good things I can say about it. So I'm going to give this a one also. Yeah, a one.
Wow.
I'd recommend seeing this just for how bad it is, to be honest.
Can you read about bad movies, Luke?
You can read about a lot of things on Audible with an audibletrial.com/ADC subscription. That's audibletrial.com/ADC. If you get a 30-day trial of Audible, you can get a free audiobook of some type or audio media, and it helps us out.
Okay, now let's check out the trailer for Civil War.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
So this is live exactly from now.
President assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to.
I wonder if the president in this movie will fall asleep.
He will. There will be a floor action committee called FART.
This movie's made by them damn liberals, or maybe the conservatives, or both? I can't tell.
I love that the most the least realistic thing about this is that Texas and California are part of the same crew.
He's not playing Donald Trump at all.
Ah, damn it.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
Pew, pew, pew. Oh, no, not a church.
We need to go down there.
We'll talk about it, but a lot of people aren't happy with how this trailer portrays the film itself.
Every time. Yeah, really? People were not happy about that at all.
No. But I think people went in with weird expectations of this film also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Alex Garland is known for some pretty out there movies.
Okay.
Hey, he's got rose-colored glasses.
Literally.
I mean, I'm the only one in the entire world that didn't like Ex Machina.
There. The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th. Of course they will.
It's going to be their Independence Day, if you know what I mean.
I was just gonna make that joke.
Yeah.
And this is a weird version of The Happening.
I'm not hanging back.
It does, especially that first opening scene has some Happening vibe, but it also has a... What's that other... The Purge, it's got Purge energy.
Yeah, all the smoke is making me think of The Mist, so I'm hoping that some, you know, Lovecraftian stuff shows up.
I doubt that very much.
Right, the ending of this is just like the beginning of a monster movie. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Very Godzilla-esque.
Hey, look, do you remember when we talked about, like, movies and TV shows that, like, are supposed to show us the future?
Yeah, a long time ago. Like, The Simpsons. Simpsons did it.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. So what is this Oscar-nominated movie all about, Luke?
In a dystopian future, America, a team of military-embedded journalists race against time to reach Washington, D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, 75% on Metacritic, and 75% of Google users. Like, those scores are all so close together. That's very, very strange. Yeah. That's unusual. Oh, yeah.
I think it's a conspiracy.
It's got to be it.
Absolutely. If you take 7.5 times 7.5 times 7.5, you get a number that's probably significant within the Bible.
So yeah, 777. It's you win money out of a. It's a jackpot. Yeah. There you go. Made the connection for you. I don't know how that connects, but it does.
I went to Rotten Tomatoes. JC said, first time ever in my life. I gave it half a star, by the way. First time ever in my life, I actually completed leaving the movie theater during the movie. The trailer was so deceiving. The movie could have been well developed, the actual team and current situation in our country, but boy, did they miss the mark.
I went to the Facebook page for the movie. Let's see. Jean Ann Lancaster says, I'm finding a lot of negativity from men, but women seem to like it. I don't know why. but okay.
It's Jesse Plemons. Yeah. His sexy ass in those rose-colored shades.
I guess so. Right there. Yeah, maybe.
I've got a Big B. I went back to Common Sense Media because, you know, this is right up their alley. Big B, age 16 plus, gave it 5 stars and does the very significant one-word phrase of cool. This title has, and underneath it, it gives recommendations and such. This title has ... great role models.
Well, Eric gave it also half a star on Rotten Tomatoes and said, the marketing team did a much better job than the screenwriters. Don't waste your time seeing this. The story had so much potential, didn't take time to set up the story at all. Straight to streaming type of movie.
Georgie Glenn on the Facebook says, boycott
A24. That's not the real name.
No, I don't think it is. Boycott A24 and Civil War. It's commie propaganda.
Of course.
The communists are coming to get us, guys.
I know. It's those damn Russians.
Yeah. There were some people that were comparing this to Red Dawn and getting mad because it wasn't like Red Dawn. There were people on the Facebook that were like, they wanted it to be like Red Dawn and it wasn't, right? Whose turn is it? Go ahead.
Mine. Again, from Common Sense Media, Spartan117, who is a teen, 16 years old, gives it 3 stars and says, "Oops, wrong movie." Although this movie was about the American Civil War, it is kind of not the right one. For my fifth graders as a spring break treat, Principal Hurd's numerous gunshots featured in the film came in just as an F-bomb was dropped. Because of this movie's poor title, I almost got transferred by the school board. Then I got fired and was charged with several counts of child neglect by some concerned parents.
That's so totally a troll, but you remember when you would like watch a movie to do a book report instead of having to read the book? What if a kid like reported on the Civil War but watched this instead of actually... Yeah, that'd be very good.
I have the best one from Rotten Tomatoes here, from Julie L. That gives it also half a star. Studio me po bere. Actros baya calandia ye suru mistaka. Guandomelo descalto propre.
I mean, I can't disagree with that.
How could you? It's eloquently stated, you know?
So bad.
Matt Haynes recommends Civil War and says, one of the most pointless movies ever made. Wait, you recommended it. One of the most pointless movies ever made. It's just people taking pictures of people killing each other. The end. Isn't that what Saving Private Ryan was also?
That's any war movie.
Right, exactly. And then, I guess the last thing, go ahead to that link that I sent you guys. I found this guy last night. He's the newest, best YouTube cinema reviewer, Cinema Max.
Better than me.
Yeah, go to the About section, Triv, could you?
Okay.
And go ahead and read the About section for Cinema Max.
Welcome to Cinema Max, your go-to destination for valuable insights and consultations on navigating the legal landscape. We are here to guide you in finding the right lawyer, Terry...
Wait, what?
Taylor...
What?
So if you scroll back in the videos to the very bottom of this guy, like if you go into the video section, you see all these videos and they're all, you know, movies that have come out recently. And they're all like 2 hours, 1 hour 45, 1 hour 30. They're like almost the length of what a movie would be, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
If you scroll all the way to the bottom of these, you'll see that it used to be a channel about... There's one video called The Best Lawyer for a Mesothelioma. How do you say that? Yeah. Mesothelioma attorney.
Mesothelioma, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and that's like, that was posted 4 months ago. So since then they became like a channel for reviewing movies, right? But if you go to any of these, like literally go to any video, they did one for Civil War. I'll just post that in the chat, and we could look at the Civil War review by Cinema Max. It is pretty great. Like the opening bit, they do a thing where it looks like you're starting to watch the movie to trick you into watching for a minute, because you think that it's a pirated movie because it's got like the opening credits.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, and then if you go all the way to 117. It's just a guy in a dark room.
and he talks consistently for a solid, like, hour 40-ish.
Yeah, what I did was I went and watched a bunch of this, and it actually goes for about 17 minutes, and then just he repeats it. It just so they just took the 17 minutes and just copied and pasted it until they got to an hour 45.
Really? Yeah. This is a trick. Oh, my God.
I love this, man.
Bring out decent content and do this shit.
Oh, he's doing... And if you listen to the... What he said, because he's actually just reading the Wikipedia page, like from the start to finish, and then going to and doing reviews and everything else.
Clever girl.
It's only got it's got like no views. Some of them have more views than other, but like most of these have like, 50, less than 100 views.
This one has 573 views. Okay, so what I do is pretty like it's at least like a 15 to 20 hour process. I'm lucky to get 100 views. This. I'm not even going to say it. Gets, oh my God.
It's because people are clicking on it because they think it's the movie.
I know. Holy balls. I need to reevaluate my life.
And I love that it started out as a thing to find lawyers somehow and then turned into this. It's so weird.
You know what? Kudos to this guy, though. He didn't turn off his comments. And, you know, he's not asking for Patreon.
Oh, and the other thing is, I was assuming when you go into the, like, if you go into any of these, you would assume that, it started a commercial, you would assume that there would be, like, oh, go to this website and get phished, and we'll give you a link to the actual movie or whatever, and then they'll steal all your data. But there isn't even one of those. There isn't a link to, like, a pirated version of the movie. Yeah.
But it says here, watch the full video to get interesting facts. Satellite details, pre-production, post-production, filming details, budget, and worldwide lifetime, box office collection details, deep story analyzation, explanation with details, and detailed technical review. Jesus Christ Almighty, I love this man.
Did you guys notice within the past 3 days he uploaded the, what would in theory be, quote, the full... movie of Deadpool and Wolverine, the Crow remake, which hasn't even come out yet.
Right, yeah.
Joker 2, Twisters. I don't even think Kraven the Hunter is it even in production?
I Am Legend 2. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. No, and he's posted 4 videos in the last 24 hours already. So yeah.
Jesus Christ.
There's also quite a large amount of tits, which makes sense, but still.
That's gonna bring in the eyeballs. But yeah, he's my favorite reviewer. So.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
He has 3.7k subscribers. Jesus Christ.
You know what? This makes me depressed.
All right. Well, let's check out the movies coming out next week or next month. Then maybe that'll make you less depressed.
I'm sure there's a lot of good ones coming.
So what's coming out in May, Fro? You want to start?
Yeah, it's a totally new movie called Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. I heard of that.
I wonder how it's going to be. Looking at the poster, I'm intrigued. I think it could be good.
I mean, it's with Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson, so it has to be good.
We just watched that last weekend, didn't we, Fro? I swear we just watched
that. Oh, fuck. That's true.
Oh, right. No, that was Rebel Moon. Mm. Oh, that was Rebel Moon. Right. Fall Guy, it's kind of a blockbuster thing, but I'm actually looking forward to it. I think it looks good with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Yeah.
It looks really fun. Not another church movie with Mickey Rourke, Jamie Foxx, and Vivica A. Fox.
What? Okay, that sounds interesting.
That's three X's between the three of them. So I'm guessing it's secretly a porn.
Secretly. Well, I am actually looking forward to Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. I am actually looking forward to that.
I didn't watch the last two, so I don't know. I just got out. They lost me a few movies ago. The Garfield movie I'm not looking forward to. Furiosa, midway. I'm like, I don't know if I want to see it or not want to see it. I don't know.
I'm intrigued to see it just because I think it'll be interesting to see how they translated it from Charlize Theron to Anna Joy Taylor. Right? No. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I just want a continuation of the original story, and if this is going to be like a spin-off, I'm not as interested, if that makes sense. Right. Okay.
No, that's fair, 100%. With Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, and Steve Carell looks interesting. I've heard a lot of back and forth on how it's going to be, so it might be something good. We had Imaginary here last month, so maybe IF, which is Imaginary Friend, will be better or worse or something interesting.
I saw the trailer for it, and it looks terrible to me, but that's just me.
No, that's fair. Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say that same thing, so...
Anything else, Fro?
Nope.
I think that's it for me also. Not as big of a movie month this month as last month, for sure.
Which is surprising, because, you go back and, obviously, pre-COVID was pre-COVID, but May was, like, the month of giant things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when Star Wars Episode 1 is one of the biggest movies coming out this month, that's saying a lot.
I mean, they're re-releasing Steel Magnolias. That could be a blockbuster.
All right, coming next week, news of the week, TV of the last couple weeks, well, this week and then next week. Troy Tells the Truth, Lovers and Liars, Episode 2 and 3. Is that what we're doing, Fro? I think that's what we're going to do, yeah. Which is, did you watch F-Boy Island, Triff?
I can't say that I have, but I'm not much of a TV person, so I'm a terrible person to ask.
It was a reality show. This is F-Girl Island, for whatever that means. But they didn't want to call it that, so they're calling it Lovers and Liars. And then Eurovision reviews, which is almost Eurovision time, so.
Yay.
Yeah, and we're going to listen to Belgium. We're going to listen to Slovenia and Israel.
Okay. All right, Jeremy Round. They're making... a Clue film, which they did make a Clue film, what, in the 80s? It might have been the 80s. 90s.
Yeah.
Absolutely but classic movie.
So good. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's cheesy as hell, but it is funny, right?
Tim Curry just steals the show.
I agree.
They released the thing for Cannes. Coppola is going to have Megapolis starring Adam Driver. George Miller's Furiosa is going to be there. Western epic Horizon and American Saga, which is going to is Kevin Costner. A bunch of different things. Oh, the Donald Trump biopic is going to be. That's the one that everybody's talking about. Yeah.
I saw that they are also giving out. One of the movies that I am most looking forward to called, The Shrouds by David Cronenberg.
Oh, yeah, Cronenberg, yeah.
Nice.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love Cronenberg.
You can't beat him.
Seinfeld says the movie business is over. He says the film... film
that's
does
after
not...
the B movie.
Right, yeah. He's such a great film person, yeah. Film does not occupy the pinnacle in the social cultural hierarchy that it did for most of our lives When a movie came out, it was good. We all wanted, and it was good. We all wanted to see it, and we all discussed it. We quoted lines and scenes we liked. Now we're walking through the fire hose of water, just trying to see anything. I think he's just saying there's too much out there, too much content.
I mean, I could say that.
Well, did any of you see the new trailer of the new movie coming out with him called Unfrosted?
No.
I can't say I have.
Mm-mm.
It's a Pop-Tart comedy.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
And the thing is, it has Melissa McCarthy in it, so...
I mean,
you know
if
what,
he's
if
making...
Include...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, if they don't include the pop or the pop tart from the Super Bowl, or was it the Super Bowl or the whatever?
Oh, that got
thing
killed.
That it was in.
Yeah,
yeah. If they don't include that as a tribute, I'm not watching it.
But listen to this list: Jerry Seinfeld, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, and Christian Slater, James Marsden. It's just like so many people in it. And it looks awful.
Yeah, that sounds ridiculous. If he can't be complaining about there being too many movies when he's making the Pop-Tart movie. You got no box to stand on there, Mr. Seinfeld.
Pop-Tart box.
Anything else, Jeremy Round?
I don't have anything here, but
the TikTok ban cleared today, and yeah. Biden signed it into law. Apparently,
yep.
So,
R.I.P.
Apparently, yeah. Unless they do something within a certain, I think it's 90 days, they need to sell the company to an American company, they'll be gone. Yeah, people are going to be mad about TikTok leaving, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I know so many creators that got their start on TikTok and do very well. And not that that's obviously not the point, but still, like, yeah, oof.
Mr. Beast is going to pass T-Series. That's kind of huge.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. And apparently T-Series is, they're like doing like a PewDiePie style campaign to keep up with him. But Mr. Beast is like, he's right on their tail. I think that was it for me.
Well, Mr. Beast is just a different beast, to be honest.
Well, he's like an actual creator, which is nice that like an actual person on YouTube instead of it being like a huge conglomerate company. The Orifice, that was the other thing I had down here. They made an AI sex toy.
Oh god.
Yeah.
And it's called the Orifice. Of course they named it that.
Yeah.
It looks so fucking disgusting.
It is the natural progression of AI robots. Sex toy. Mm-hmm. It was gonna happen. It's gonna happen, people. It was just a matter of time. Just a matter of time.
It's like the classic question of Tropic Thunder. They talk about like how great decisions are made with porn. It's like VHS versus Beta, Blu-ray versus HD or whatever the HDVD was or whatever. Yeah, HD-DVD. Yeah, that's.
And 3D, like a lot of things in cinema are brought through porn because it's a cheaper way to test things, like absolutely. Equipment. You can test equipment in that much cheaper than you can producing a multi-million dollar movie. Yeah.
Okay, from Norway with a back that's hurting like a mom that's making a bad dinner. My name is Fro.
My name is Luke.
I'm Trev.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Adios.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen.
Another digital citizen. 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 Citizen.